The Bama Beat Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com/podcast. That's Zaxby's.com/podcast. And welcome back into the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. This is Clint Lamb sitting here once again with Cecil Hurt. How are you doing this morning, Cecil?
Great, Clint. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, Alabama yet again are officially bowl eligible after they're getting
$65,000 bonus for Coach Saban.
Huge deal. Always nice to get bowl eligible. Just ask Tennessee, who is actually going to be the upcoming opponent. But I wanted to talk a little bit first about Texas A&M. What were some of your initial thoughts from that game?
People ask a prediction before, and you're guessing on a line and so forth. But it went. Sometimes games don't go the way you think they will, and sometimes they kind of do go. And this game kind of went the way I thought it would. Texas A&M had a hard time stopping Tua, stopping Alabama from scoring. They just do. They can do some good things. They had a great first drive, scripted, did a good job. Alabama helped them with a penalty, but they got ahead. But Alabama comes right back and gets ahead, and so A&M's playing from behind. I was surprised. We talked about this a little bit earlier. That A&M gave up 300 yards in the return game, which is a lot.
And
Alabama has really good returners. There's no question about that. But Braden Mann's been one of the top punters in college football. Didn't have a great day. Their kickoff coverage, they just weren't getting the hang time on the kicks. I thought there were at least two that I thought Ruggs was going to break. There were two that I thought Waddle was going to break, that the punter kind of turned him at least. He didn't tackle him, but he turned him. But that's a lot of yardage. Alabama's average starting field position was their own 47.
So that is
short
incredible.
Field and your 53-yard line, 53-yard drive, and you're in. Well, that's tough to do. Alabama can eat up 53 yards in a hurry. Still too many penalties. People, can agree with some calls, disagree with some calls, but still too many penalties for Alabama. Tremendous receiver. I guess Devontae had 99 yards, and that was the most by a receiver. But Najee ran for over 100.
Brian Robinson averaged over 5 yards a carry.
Had a great, 23-yard gain on a little dump off that was really all individual effort by the back. Made a guy miss, ran over a guy. So that area continued to improve. People get distraught about the defense, but I could see that, social media reaction after that first drive. But really, after that first drive, they played okay. I thought they got more pass rush out of Terrell Lewis and Anthony Jennings than they've been getting. Didn't always contain Mond. I think that's still got a little bit to do with the inexperience at linebacker. I think there were two times where he got out, ran 1 for 25 and 1 for 20, which you don't like to see him lose contain, but they were getting good pressure. Terrell had 2 sacks, and they affected him, I think, a good bit. So I didn't think the defense was terrible. Again, people look at the statistics, and Alabama's scoring quick. They're getting some opportunities. They've got some athletes, and there were some times when Mond did get some time and he was able to complete some throws. So overall, though, that wasn't a terrible. After the first drive, thought they settled down and played okay, played pretty well. They'll have to ratchet that up toward the end of the year, but for right now, they're probably, Alabama's probably in a stretch where the defense will have a little cushion in the next couple of games, and so see if they continue to improve. I thought they improved a little bit in that phase.
Yeah.
Punting's got everybody concerned, and I understand that.
That was definitely something that I was going to ask you about, but before we kind of transition to that, I will say I think they're on the field for 70 plays on defense. That's a little bit less than the two other SEC games. Granted, a lot of that has to do with the tempo in which Texas A&M runs their offense compared to some of these other SEC teams. you know, still some concerns a little bit on third down. 5 of 12 is what they allowed on third downs to Texas A&M. But like you said, the sacks, the fact they were able to put a lot of pressure, both the edge guys played fantastic. You know, Christian Barmore has proven that he's a rotational, nice rotational piece on that defensive line. That's something that they really, really needed with the losses. And, of course, you'll be getting LeBron Ray back soon. But
Christian got 15 yards for it. Hey, touch the quarterback's head, you're going to get flagged. People can gripe about it, but that's an easy call. That's a point of emphasis for the officials. And if you make it where you can see it out there in the clear – you're going to get flagged for it. So you got to learn to keep your hands lower in that situation. With that said, it was almost like he was playing tag. You know, it was
absolutely
like you're it. You know, just a little pat on the head.
Absolutely.
Wasn't a ear hole shot or anything like that. And so he's just got to calm down a little bit. And I did not think that was the most egregious hit of the day. On either side,
but you know, great.
But they're gonna call it now.
Yeah. I will say though, and it's things like that. He's had a few, you know, things similar in other games. It's kind of been he plays really hard, plays really aggressive, and sometimes it's going to lead to these kind of penalties in these situations. He's trying his hardest to make a play in the limited snaps he's getting.
Well, you would 10,000 times rather have a defensive lineman whose motor's running high and you got to calm him down a little bit than one whose motor isn't running.
Absolutely.
High. With those big guys, you want them fired up. You want them being energy guys. That you can teach, you know, that you can control through coaching. You can get a half dozen guys whose motor doesn't run that high and it's hard to get them up and playing at that level. So, yeah, you'd much rather. I think that's why Christian's popular among the fans. And he can make some plays. He's a big physical guy. I think looks like to me he needs one more year in the weight room.
I think so,
To really be a load up there next year.
Well,
but we'll continue to play an important role this year. But I think this time next year he can take almost a Quinnen step.
I think one of the most important things for him as a player is, you know, I was talking with Brett Hudson about this earlier when being on the sidelines of that Ole Miss game a couple of weeks ago, him getting that late game sack to end the game, really, or was it might have been a tackle for loss, I don't remember. But just the fact that all of his teammates and stuff were so happy for him, you can tell that he's one of those guys that all, you know, very well liked in the locker room. I've only heard good things about him from that aspect. So it's great to see him out there and working his way up the depth chart, and he's doing it, you know, purely with hard work. But on the other side of the football, in the trenches, the offensive line, by far their best performance, most dominant. Evan Neal looked fantastic. And you know, there's been some transition moving from tackle to guard. That was kind of to be expected. They're doing things, pulling him a lot more, allowing him to do what he does best. Movement skills are there. Doesn't really get to utilize his length being inside into kind of a phone booth, but all the other attributes that he has as an offensive lineman are really starting to show up. And then you got Deonte Brown coming back and being inserted in the starting lineup. What did you think about the offensive line?
I think as long as Landon Dickerson can handle the center position, which he did do, and it seems to just be a learning thing for him because he'd never played it before, but he seems to be playing really well. I think that's their – and this isn't a knock at Chris Owens or at – I think Dalcourt's coming along, and Ekior, and you know, they've got other guys. But I think that's their best. All of a sudden, you've got Landon, who's a big, strong center, as long as he's handling the line calls and all that. Two really big, strong guards in Neal and Brown on either side of him. And then the tackles, who I don't know what your analysis watching the game was, and you have a better perspective, and particularly watching the televised version on offensive line play. But, you know, Leatherwood jumped one time, had a false start.
Right on the goal line, yeah.
Down the goal line. And that was about the only And, you know, they got some pressure on Tua. Teams are going to do that. That's, you know, not, I didn't think they got an inordinate amount. I think there were a lot of times when Tua had plenty of time.
I think this was their best game from a pass protection standpoint that we've seen.
Right, and it was good. I thought that there were holes in the running game. You know, again, not
– big time.
It's just the world's changed, and they're not going to knock guys off and Alabama run for 300 yards. But Najee had a good game. Brian Robinson had a good game. So I think that alignment, you know, that lineup is probably their best lineup right now. Doesn't mean the other guys, you know, there's a problem or anything with the other guys. It's good to have that depth. But, you know, I don't know what they'll do if Chris Owens is available this week, next week. But I thought that five that they had out there, now that Deontay's clearly – getting back into shape, getting better, game shape, and I thought that five is a pretty solid unit.
I think so. And, you know, it's kind of to be expected with everybody kind of figured that once Deontay Brown got back, he would be an instant boost to at least to some degree to the run game, which we saw. So that was really good to see. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Alabama's upcoming opponent, the Tennessee Vols. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast brought to you by Zaxby's. All right, welcome back to the Bama Beat Podcast brought to you by Zaxby's. We're going to shift focus to the Alabama-Tennessee game. Cecil, you know, I know that you were in College Station, probably didn't get a chance to see much of the Tennessee-Mississippi State game.
I saw just enough to see that they were wearing the creamsicle, the orange pants uniform, and that was it.
I'm not a personal fan. I don't know how you feel about it. I like their, I like the white pants, orange jerseys, but not a fan of the all orange.
A little orange goes a long way with me. So the all orange, and that's not a knock at Tennessee or anybody else that wears orange. It's just not in my color wheel, as Sandra Bullock would say.
Right. Well, I think that this is a, you know, 34.5 point line, that is massive. Now, granted, I haven't gone back historically and looked to see what lines in the past have been. Do you think that this is very well could be the biggest line in this rivalry game that we've seen during the Nick Saban era?
I'd have to go back and look. It's been, you know, really since 2010, there have been some big lines, Dooley's teams and so on, you know. Alabama had a history of winning by exactly 35 for like 4 years in a row. So if there's been a bigger one, it's been fairly recently. I just hadn't gone back and researched it. So,
well, I will say from the Tennessee perspective, there's not a whole lot of, you know, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat this for Tennessee fans, or, you know, I'm just going to be real about it. There's not a whole lot of areas where Tennessee stacks up against Alabama. Now, granted, you do have to, from a talent standpoint on the offensive side of the football, a lot of, you know, five-star recruits, two of them true freshmen, your bookend tackles, both true freshmen. You would think that's not going to bode well against Alabama, especially with the improved pass rush, you know, against Texas A&M. Right. But they are playing better at that spot. Trey Smith, who came back from the blood clots, he's really getting his footing back, and he looked good. So this Tennessee offensive line, I think a lot, if they can improve, I think the rest of the offense really improves. I thought Garantano against Mississippi State also, when he came in, he looked a lot better. Maybe getting benched helped him. So there are a couple things, you know, maybe more so in Tennessee's favor than maybe people are predicting.
Yeah, and then defensively, they're pretty good. Jeremy's a good coach. I'll give you a stat. This is a stat that people may or may, again, because so the game was early, not a lot of people saw it. They had 6 sacks and 9 tackles for losses. That's 15 stops in the Mississippi State backfield.
Against a good running back in Kylan Hill.
And a quarterback who can run and Schrader. That's why there are so many tackle for losses.
Right.
Because State runs it so much and doesn't really try and drop back and throw it anymore. And if they gave up 6 sacks, then that's, you know, they really – not getting the job done in protection. But you also have to credit Tennessee for getting back there on him. I mean, that's 15 tackles behind the line, and they forced 3 turnovers.
Yeah, so. And that was big for that defense. Okay. The turnovers especially. And I'm now Henry To'o,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to mess that up all week. He's suspended for the first half due to that targeting penalty.
Right.
Which is a big loss for Tennessee. He's a true freshman. Alabama was obviously hot after him on the recruiting trail. This past cycle ends up at Tennessee, and he's made a big impact for them.
And we're taping this before noon on Monday, so don't know yet if there's been any further discipline on Devontae Smith, who was ejected for fighting. Should know something about that from Nick Saban at noon today.
And that will be key. I had actually forgotten about that. Remember, it was a, you know,
wasn't a targeting, so it's not automatic.
That's I was getting a lot of texts.
The SEC
about,
office will review it.
Right.
The rule is the NCAA reviews it, but what they do in those situations, that responsibility goes to the conference office. Under sanction of the NCAA.
So would the max be a half, or could
max
it be
be anything?
It could.
You know, I mean, obviously, if you had a guy jerk off a helmet and hit a guy with it, and you could get a game or 2 games, I can't see more than a half out of that ejection.
But right.
There's no written guideline that it's this much. Don't know if he'll get anything. It was a little bit of a chicken fight. Oh, Devonta landed a heck of a punch.
He did. Granted, he had a helmet on.
And he did. But
never understood that.
You know, so I'm not going to predict, but a half wouldn't shock me if that's what happened.
Well, man, then Alabama would be really left shorthanded at receiver. They don't have anybody else that can make plays.
They'd probably have to scratch him. Scramble, but nonetheless, it's a guy that's been really productive.
Especially,
I don't know.
Right.
I'm not sitting here saying he'll miss any time, but I am saying we hadn't heard an official word on that yet.
Right. So I guess, I mean, you know, when you, there's not, as we continue on getting, you know, the LSU game, there's going to be a ton to talk about. A lot of individual matchups. It's going to make a huge difference. With this one, when you really start breaking things down, really the only thing you're looking for is Alabama covering 34.5, or are they not? I mean, it's not really – I don't think anybody is going to give Tennessee a chance to win. And that, you know, granted, if Nick Saban heard me say that, we'd get a chewing this afternoon.
Well, it's just hard to see them scoring enough points.
That's the biggest thing, to match Alabama's offense.
You know, it would be Alabama's worst offensive game of the year by far if they scored 31, and you just don't, I don't know that Tennessee can score 31.
Right. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, this, it is a rivalry game. You never know what can happen. If it was at Knoxville, you know, maybe a different circumstance. I just think that Alabama's, you know, what I'll say is a lot of the deficiencies that you've seen from Alabama, I thought Miller Forrestall started to play better. He started to block better in the run game. Now, he got hurt.
He had to come out.
Yeah.
Now, Nick said after the game there weren't any serious injuries.
So he should be fine.
We'll see what that
update. But it just seems like, you know, at some of these spots where Alabama was showing some deficiencies, they're getting better. And that's good. I mean, by the time that the season ends, you want to be, you know, on the up instead of on the decline. And Clemson certainly seems like they're on the up as well. After the bye week, we'll have to see. It's one game. It's Florida State. But, you know, they're
– interesting game. They're at Louisville. That's an interesting game.
I think it could be, yeah. Louisville
– I'm not picking Louisville to win.
Right.
He's a good coach.
Yeah. And I think that will tell us more about Clemson and where they're at following the bye week than Florida State. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see that. Well, Cecil, I appreciate you hopping on here with me today. This has been a great talk. We appreciate you guys listening in to the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. We will see you next week. This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast has been brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. That's zaxby's.com/podcast.